Hey, it is May 27th, 2017. This is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans both new and old.
Erica.
Yes, Deb.
We have our Stanley Cup finalists.
It's all yellow. It's so yellow.
I know. It is the Tournament of Yellow, not Tournament of the Roses. You know, we haven't recorded this for a while. It just seemed like because we were watching hockey. Like it was, do you record a podcast right before Game 6 of the Nashville Predators Anaheim series?
Yeah, what's the point of that?
There's no point in that. So like every time we kept talking about recording this, it's like, but we should wait for like one more game. We should wait for the next game because it's a big game. Like we'd have something to talk about. But we're recording this on May 26th. As of last night, we finally got our Eastern Conference champions. My God, that game though.
It was. Yeah. How are you holding up after that game, Deb?
I'm okay. I was in a meeting until, quarter to 11 last night. And I got out to my car and I turned on the NHL network. Actually, I stayed at the meeting because, okay, this is insider baseball stuff. Please don't tell anybody. I actually had my phone sitting next to me in this meeting and I had the NHL app open just so I could see the scores. Like I wasn't doing the box to box or anything. I just so I could see the scores. And the series was tied. It was down to the last minute. So I actually had everything wrapped up and I was just sitting there waiting to see if they were going to go into overtime or not. Ran out to my car, jumped in my car, turned on the NHL network, drove home as fast as I possibly could, got to within the last like 8 minutes of the first overtime, ran in. My husband had the TV on because he's a good person. Aww. To the game. Watched that go into the second overtime. So it was just like the hockey gods gave me hockey to watch last night. Aww. By letting that game go a little bit longer. But my heart, that was intense.
Mm-hmm.
Very intense.
I had this weird feeling all the way through the first overtime that it was going to go to a second overtime. So for some reason, I wasn't tense because I was just like, I don't know. I just had this weird cocky thing like, nah, it's going to go into a second overtime. But I was still enjoying watching it because it was really exciting. That was like, my gut sort of swapped on me a little bit. I was really cheering for Ottawa. And then their style of play is just so defensive and kind of boring. So I think my gut just sort of flopped on me and just decided that Pittsburgh would be the more exciting team to watch. Also, it would mean I didn't have to root against a Canadian team in the finals. So by the end of it, I didn't really have a horse in the race one way or the other too much, but I was kind of rooting for Pittsburgh. So there's a lot less tension when you don't really care all that much who's right. Going to win. It was just really fun watching some really good hockey because that was some really good hockey.
It was really good hockey. And I was hoping for a Sens win just because, you know, they have been the scrappy underdog throughout this entire playoff season. They're like the little mutt that has the bone that just will not let it go. Because statistically and on paper, they should not be as far as they went. Mm-hmm. So, I have to give props to that kind of heart to be able to stick in there. Yep. And the one thing that I really liked, maybe it was Ryan Johansson says, I may not be attributing this quote exactly right, but after their game six, he said, we're just so happy that we get to play together one more game.
Oh,
and it wasn't, it wasn't like we're really happy, you know, that we have a chance to win this. It was like we have a chance to stay together for one more game because none of these playoff teams, you know, are going to be the exact same team next year. You're going to lose people. People are going to retire. People are going to get traded. People are going to, you know, sign contracts somewhere else. So like that sentiment and all the narrative that went around Craig Anderson and everything and Bobby Ryan's mom dying over the summer and sort of, you know, his comeback story in the playoffs. So it just like that spoke to my heart. I do think that the Penguins and the Predators are going to be a much more exciting Stanley Cup playoff. Don't get me wrong. Yes. I think that's probably going to be the better hockey matchup and there's going to be all sorts of craziness around that. But yeah, there was a part of me that really wanted the Sens to win just because they shouldn't be where they were. I have to admire that. I have to respect that.
And also, it's Canada's 150 year anniversary. So that was another kind of neat thing. A lot of people really wanted them to go to the final and have a chance at the Stanley Cup as we're celebrating the 150th birthday of Canada. But it just, alas, it wasn't meant to be.
Who would have thought? Who would have even thought they would be playing Pittsburgh Penguins in the final round in double overtime in game 7? That is insane. Nobody thought they'd get past the Rangers. Nobody thought they'd get past Boston.
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah, it was, but it was good. It was good hockey. I'm glad I got to see the end of it. I did see the final game 6 of the Predators Anaheim. That was a fraught series, hard fought and fraught all at once. I have never been so happy to see a team win. I am amazed at how much I learned to dislike Anaheim over the course of this series.
Yeah.
They are and the whole Ryan Getzlaff scandal with the homophobic slur and his absolute non-apology about that.
Oh my God. I had, like, it was funny because after that non-apology came out and I read it and just shook my head and I was like, Stephen, where is Ryan Getzlaff from? And I can't remember exactly where he said, somewhere in Canada. And I was like, dude's Canadian. He should be better at apologizing than this.
Really?
Like, this is a thing Canadians are known for and he completely screwed it up.
Yeah, it should be like, if you've not seen any of this, I don't know how you haven't. If you're a hockey fan, I'm sure it has hit you. He said something that is homophobic. He said it's not homophobic. It's really disappointing that the media is making this out to be a homophobic slur, but you know, it was definitely a homophobic slur, and he got fined $10,000. Now, last year, I believe it was last year, when Andrew Shaw made a to make it worse, he was saying it to a ref, which is when Andrew Shaw made a homophobic slur on the ice, he was fined and he was given a game suspension. So it was either one or two games, actually, I'm not sure, but he was definitely suspended. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's playoffs. Do the rules go out the window? I mean, this was a chance for the NHL to sort of back up all of this, all the rhetoric that they give about inclusivity and making hockey, you know, more welcoming to everybody. And it just, it's all lip service. You know, you can take that pride tape and like shove it up your rear end, because if you don't back it up, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it seems like every time something like this comes up in the NHL, the NHL really just doesn't, they're not putting their money where their mouth is. So yeah, like you're right. Everything that they've done has been very surface level and not even great at that. Like the whole, you know, hockey is for everyone. You can play pride nights and stuff. There were some cities that did a great job with it. And I think that that is more indicative of those cities and those teams than it is of the NHL overall, because they really didn't have a great edict in place to actually make that good across the board. And then they just randomly named one player from each team to be the ambassador, like, you know, the sensitivity ambassador. Andrew Shaw was named as the sensitivity ambassador for his team, which, I mean, on one hand, that could be a really awesome thing if he actually took everything to heart and, you know, took the time from that suspension to learn why what he did was wrong. And maybe he did, and maybe that's why they named him. But who was it that's the ambassador for the Ducks? Is it Kessler?
I believe it is.
And, yeah, and he had... like, I have not heard one single word from him about his teammates' words and anything about that. It's just, it has all been very poorly handled, or rather just not handled. Yeah, you get a fine and that's it. Not cool, NHL. Like, I like, in many ways, I get to point to the NHL and be like, this is the league that is working on things, that is really trying to make the sport better, trying to keep their players healthier, like all that kind of things, in comparison to certain other leagues I could mention. But this is one thing where they don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, there's issues. There's issues in all sports, so don't get me wrong.
Very true.
But, you know,
very
sort
true.
Of this this sort of toxic masculinity crap that I just have patience for. So apparently hockey is for everyone, unless you're in the playoffs, and then you can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the way it goes with officiating too. Like,
that's true. Ugh. So that put a taint on the game for me, and I was just like, oh, I hope you lose. I hope you lose so hard.
Yep.
But and they did. So it was all good.
Did.
The good guys won, which made me really happy. And they won like without their captain on the ice. They had two catastrophic injuries in their top line. like, I don't know where they're pulling it from, but they did. And the narrative of the Pittsburgh Penguins going for a back-to-back win and the Nashville Predators going for their first win, not even bringing in the Subban trade, because that's mm-hmm. a whole nother story. Like, and Nashville, like, turning into Hockey Town USA.
That's so cool.
It's yeah, good. Even if you're not a fan of either one of these teams, it is just compelling narrative, compelling hockey, and it's going to be great. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
I really am.
Oh, can you tell? I'm a little excited.
The yellow. I really like yellow so uniforms, yellow. So I'm excited to see actually both rinks. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, there was some other hockey that happened. The world's finished. They wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. That was exciting.
You know, I didn't get to see as much of that as I wanted to. I was kind of disappointed.
The final game was neat because it was Canada and Sweden. And, you know, Stephen, of course, was rooting for Canada. And I guess I kind of was, too. But
Team Flyers light, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. It was basically like Flyers North was like the Canadian team. And yeah, I was rooting for them too, but I'm one quarter Swedish, so I was also kind of rooting for Sweden, and they also have really cool yellow uniforms, so mm-hmm. that was another like point in their column. And yeah, when they won, neither Stephen nor I was really all that sad for Canada. I mean, we were, a little bummed because, you're countrymen, but holy cow, those Swedish boys were so excited. That was just... Oh, right. My goodness.
And first of all, they are the prettiest team to ever play. Mm-hmm. let's be objectifying here. I mean, there's a lot of really, really handsome men on that team.
It is the eye candy team.
It is definitely the eye candy team. And, just the story of Henrik Lundqvist wanting to play a game with his brother. He has a twin brother,
yes.
Which is just cruelly unfair.
There's two of them.
God, right? And mm-hmm. so like to win the championship with his brother, that find it, and it's this has been all over the internet, but that picture of William Nylander jumping into Henrik Lundqvist's arms, tumbling to the ice, mm-hmm. like he totally would have been called for a penalty for that move.
I know. Stephen was like, oh my God, Lundqvist he's totally got to be injured after that hit. Like, they need to suspend Nylander because he just took out one of the greatest goalies in the game.
I know. But that, and it's funny because this was William Nylander's series. He had so much, mm-hmm. he came to so much attention. He's a great, great player, don't get me wrong. But being in the Toronto Maple Leafs, where you have Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner having a breakout season, because mm-hmm. everybody, all eyes were on Austin Matthews. Yep. And then Mitch Marner, this little wisp of a kid, who, like I said, is sort of the hockey version of Daily Kitten on yeah. Twitter. Because he's such an exuberant little kid. Really had a great season. And William Nylander's kind of fallen into the shadows a little bit, I mm-hmm. think. But in this series on Team Sweden, he lit up. He had great gameplay, a lot of scoring, a lot of points. So it's all of a sudden everybody's like, ha, that Nylander kid, he's pretty darn good. So, and oh, to see him in the handshake line with Mitch Marner, his teammate, mm-hmm. Bud, was like, oh. So, yeah, it was the pictures of that were great to see the military escort, the fighter jet escort back to Sweden, to see the Swedish royal family, like, welcoming them in with one of the little princes wearing a jersey. It just, Sweden loves them.
They know how to celebrate their hockey team in style.
Yes, they do. I don't even think that people in America would notice if Team USA came, which they didn't because they flamed out so early. But, flying back, it would be like, oh, there was hockey over there? What? It's not the Stanley Cup. What's that about? Mm-hmm. So that was good. And as we speak, the Calder Cup and Memorial Cups are still ongoing. So there is mm-hmm. still more hockey out there if you're looking for something to do this weekend.
Yeah, we've watched a bit of that, but our Ethan Bear is one of the players for the Seattle Thunderbirds, and the Thunderbirds are out of it now. And Ethan Bear is an Edmonton Oilers prospect, so we were watching and rooting for him. So we'll probably still continue to watch the games, but maybe a little less closely than we were when Seattle was still in the mix.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now called Chasing the Prize, I think it is, and it's about the AHL. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and the whole history and of the AHL from what it was into sort of what it's been molded into today is really, really fascinating. And I would love to do an episode maybe over the summer talking about that. So it's got me a little bit more interested in watching the AHL race, but it's definitely a slightly different beast. And if you're used to watching NHL games, you know, mm-hmm. the calling of it's not as great. You know what I mean? It's a little looser. Oh, yeah. Yep. But the gameplay is there's some really top quality gameplay mm-hmm. there too. So
yep. I think it's a little bit less in the Canadian Hockey Leagues, like in juniors, the Memorial Cup. Like I feel like there's a bigger step down between the NHL and juniors in Canada
Definitely.
Than there is between
yeah.
NHL and the AHL. But it's all fun. It's just all good. It's all hockey.
It's all hockey. Lots of it. Oh, let's see. I'm poking through my tabs I have open. the heartwarming story. Craig Cunningham
yes.
of the Arizona Coyotes was named as a pro scout. That was so good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That his story is just tragic. He was the captain of the Tucson Roadrunners. I'm sorry, that always makes me laugh that the Arizona Coyotes AHL team is the Tucson Roadrunners. He was their captain. He did, you know, he was called up. He was working towards Coyotes. He played for the Coyotes for a while, and he collapsed on ice, mm-hmm. I believe, playing for the Coyotes, like before the game started. Turns out he had like a major heart attack or a stroke or something and was in the hospital for a long time. They ended up having to amputate part of his left leg, I believe. So his mm-hmm. hockey career is over. But he was brought back into the Coyotes organization. So he's going to be player development and a pro scout. So you know, he doesn't have to. And he's a young guy, you know, he's not that old. So
no.
to have mm-hmm. that kind of that kind of thing happen to you, like at the cusp of your career.
Yep. Yeah. Just getting ready to turn the corner into, you know,
right.
pro.
Step up to the big show.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad. So that was good to hear. The surprising news of the week, though, was Steve Ott was named assistant coach for the Blues. Like,
yeah.
where did that? He didn't even retire. Like, he was playing last month.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Isn't he still, like, a player? Yeah, that was a big surprise.
That was a big surprise this week. So, and I know he played for Dallas, but I honestly, the first time I really paid attention to him is he did this really funny video with Jordy Ben.
Hmm.
For the Canadiens, and because they put all these funny little video interview things out, and you know, good social media presence there, and mm-hmm. He did an interview. They interviewed each other. They pulled questions out of a hat. So it was like, oh, that I know the name, but that I'm putting a name to the face. So that's who Steve Ott is. So and yes, but he was in the Stanley Cup the playoffs. You know what I mean?
And not that long ago.
And I was listening to NHL Network on Sirius today, and they're like, did he retire? Did we miss an announcement? I'm like, nope, hasn't formally retired. So I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But hey, you go, Steve. He's like 36, so I guess it's time to start looking for something else to do.
I guess.
Oh, and let's see what else. Oh, our beloved Golden Knights.
Here comes Vegas.
Here comes Vegas. So the expansion draft is coming up. We're a little under a month away from that. There was an interview with George McPhee just this week saying, you know, trades should start happening soon. GMs are coming to him and trying to make deals so he doesn't take certain players. It's going to be a little crazy. And I did hear a theory that he may be, because of the salary cap issues, he may be willing to take on some bad contracts from other teams in lieu of some considerations, future considerations. So, and another thing that I heard people talking about too, and I kind of thought this was interesting, was the draft is sort of the placeholder team, the expansion draft. Like they're going to get all mm-hmm. these players in, and they're going to use those players to negotiate for the team that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is my first expansion draft. This is first. I'm not quite sure how. Like, what is the philosophy behind this?
I honestly, it's my first expansion draft too. So yeah, that is an interest. And also, just because previous expansion drafts had certain philosophies behind them doesn't necessarily mean that this will. So this is really, it's a whole new ballgame. I mean, the game of hockey itself has changed so much just over the past 10, 15 years that. Yeah, it will be really interesting to see. I mean, any time that you just take a whole bunch of players from a bunch of different places and you plop them all together and you make a team, like, that is always an interesting thing, whether it's for international hockey or something similar to that. But here, where it's just an NHL team, it's, yeah. And then I hadn't even really thought about the idea of taking those players and sort of using them as bargaining chips and using them to trade around to get the final version of the team that they want. I will be interested to see the differences between the Vegas Golden Knights this next season and the Vegas Golden Knights in the season after that. I will be surprised if it was terribly similar.
Well, I think I can picture a lot of flipping going on. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there's lots of whispering in ears and phone calls being made with, and even saying, hey, I would, a GM calling, you know, Vegas and saying, I would really like this player. You get this player for me, trade him to, you know, get this player. We'll trade you these things for that player, sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. and George McPhee said he's open to that. He is open to all sorts of negotiations. So it's not only, I think you can only go in with your eye towards the player that you want for your team, but what, considering that player as an asset and what that player can do for you in terms of getting something else. So that's going to be June 21st in conjunction with the NHL Awards. So I know we'll be talking more about that as we get closer, because we are sports people. <That's>
Totally.
But they also announced that they have come to an arrangement with Chicago Wolves to use them as their AHL affiliate, which is interesting because that's the St. Louis Blues AHL affiliate.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to share. How is that going to work?
I do not know. I am not sure.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess they will have to have their own players, you know, like it's a delineation, like player X is a prospect of, well, not a prospect. Player X is owned by the Blues, and player Y is owned by the Vegas Golden Knights, I guess. I mean,
I the contract for this must be boggling, because again, in reading this book, they're talking about how, you know, because an AHL team will pay a fee to be affiliate with an NHL team, and then the NHL team, I believe, pays the salaries of their prospects. Okay, so that's mm-hmm. kind of the financial workings of that. But the contract negotiation, like they were saying, it comes down to who pays for the socks that they wear, who pays for the jerseys. Like it can be incredibly detailed. So I imagine that one is going to cost them big bucks in legal fees to try to hammer out.
The lawyers are making out like bandits.
Right. Yeah. So, the whole AHL thing is so fascinating and how that's come about, but we'll save that, because there's a, I don't know if you noticed, we had two cups awarded mm-hmm. at the end of these two conference finals, and one team picked up a cup and one team didn't. So, Erica, why don't we learn something new about hockey and talk about cup superstitions?
Okay. It's time for What the Puck, those things that everyone knows, but we all had to learn sometime. So, Deb, What the Puck is up with this touching the cup thing?
All right. This is like one of those, hockey is a superstitious sport. It is so superstitious. You may have noticed like all the scruffy playoff beards, because it's bad luck to shave once you make the playoffs. I know. They do all kinds of crazy things. And goalies have all sorts of superstitions, and players have all sorts of superstitions. And if you piled them all up, you would have like superstition Jenga. Pull one out, the whole house of cards falls. So if you watch game seven of the Penguins Senators game and watched game six of the Nashville Anaheim game, they awarded a cup at the end, because they each won their conference. They won mm-hmm. their division, sort of thing. So they get, you know, they each get awarded a cup. And in the Western Conference, it is the Clarence Campbell Bowl. Actually, they call it a bowl, not a cup. And that was awarded after the game to the Nashville Predators. Mm-hmm. And Mike Fisher, in a suit, and a baseball cap because he got smashed in the eye with a puck and was not playing that day.
He looked like such a like just prototypical hockey player. He was just the bruises and it was pretty hardcore.
Yeah, trying to, you know, scruffy, but trying to clean up for the press, right? Mm-hmm. So he came out, was awarded the cup, did not get anywhere close to that cup, wasn't touching the cup.
He looked just frightened of the cup.
Yes, leaning in to get his face in the same proximity of where the cup was, but he wasn't touching the cup. Then after game 7 with Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ottawa Senators, Sidney Crosby skated over, grabbed that cup, skated off the ice. So
he could not wait to get his hands around that cup.
I know. He was like, this cup is mine. So there is a weird superstition. Well, first of all, like a little bit of history of the cups, because like, where did that even come about? A little old hockey.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag old hockey. It's old another hockey. Crossover.
I know. But, you know, hockey is built upon tradition.
It really is.
So the Clarence Campbell Bowl was actually named after Clarence Campbell, obviously, who was the president of the NHL. And he, like, for 30 years, like from the 1946-47 season to the 1976-77 season. And he was actually the president during the big expansion, which formed what we consider the modern era of the NHL with the 1967 expansions, where we got the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. And it was first awarded back then. It was supposed to be a mirror of the Prince of Wales Trophy, which is a trophy that the original six had awarded as part of their finals. And the history of how, you know, the league sort of bounced around and how it wanted to form itself and how the conferences were going to be divided and who was going to be where. So these cups have been awarded for different titles sort of thing. So it was like the Wales Conference at one point, and it was the Western Conference, and it's convoluted. I don't even want to get into that. It's a mess. But know that it all settled into now what we finally have is the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. And the Western Conference gets the Clarence Campbell Bowl, and the Eastern Conference gets the Prince of Wales Trophy. So, but there's a suspicion around here that if you touch that cup or that bowl, you will not win the Stanley Cup, because the eye on the prize is supposed to be the Stanley Cup. So it's bad luck.
Yes.
Now,
don't celebrate too much winning your conference final, because, you know, that's right. Not what you should be celebrating. You got to keep trying.
You should keep trying. You still have one more step to go. Now, the suspicion of not touching the cup is, from what I have read, is sort of new. Like, it hasn't been around since 1967. And I read an article today that said it actually started with the 1997 Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, thanks, Flyers.
Yeah, right? Of course. And they were like, nope, not touching the cup. It doesn't mean anything. We're here for the big prize. Now, over the years, not every team has subscribed to that. And some teams have touched the cup. Now, Sidney Crosby said last time he touched the cup, they won. So he was touching the cup again.
And the time before that, he did not touch the cup and they didn't win.
Try to shake it up. Mm-hmm. So because hockey players and hockey in general lives and dies by statistics, Bobby Micy, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, on SB Nation actually wrote an article, "To Touch or Not to Touch, a Statistical Analysis of Hockey's Conference Trophy Superstition."
This is amazing.
And I know. It made my heart go pitter-pat. And it actually broke down from 1997 to 2006 the records of teams that not only touched the cup and didn't touch the cup, or who touched it, like if one team touched it and one team didn't touch it. So the breakdown is, they said the tradition of this has kind of grown ever since 1997 Flyers decided to jack it all up for everybody. Thanks, Flyers.
I mean, honestly, that whole attitude of like, you know, this doesn't matter because I'm here for the Stanley Cup. That's like the reality show player who's like, I'm not here to make friends. You know?
Yes. Well, it's the Flyers. What can I say?
Good point. Okay. Good point. So well made.
And the myth of this has grown over time, right? Mm-hmm. So it said the winner of the Western Conference has not touched their trophy since Calgary touched it and lost in 2004. So since 2004, the Western Conference has been like, oh, hell no, we're not touching that. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference, the Eastern Conference has touched the Prince of Wales Trophy, the award given to the Eastern Conference champions, significantly more than the West has touched a Clarence Campbell. So there's this wonderful little breakdown. But basically, it says, there's an 8-3 record when both conferences mirror each other. So the Western Conference actually has a better record when it touches the cup than the Eastern Conference touches the cup. But if the Western Conference does not touch the cup and the Eastern Conference touches the cup, then the Eastern Conference has like a 5-3 chance of winning. So wow. There's stats.
It's game theory. Like, if you finish your series first, you have to make a decision. And then when the second series is finished, they can then take into account what the other side did. Right. Oh, this is delightful.
It is. Now, history should have said that when the Western Conference champs won, the Nashville Predators won, they should have touched the cup. But they didn't know that the Penguins were going to win and pick up the cup. So, like, you couldn't do that. And actually, I did read that Mike Fisher polled his team.
Oh, that's nice.
And said, should we touch the cup or not touch the cup? And they voted to not touch the cup. It wasn't entirely his decision. Mm-hmm. He asked around, and they were all like, nah, man, we ain't going there.
But that was like, I am hardcore rooting for Nashville. But when I saw that they didn't touch it and that Sidney Crosby went and picked it up, I was, for a second, my heart was like, oh, I want Pittsburgh to win. Just because now, I think it's a silly, silly superstition. And I like seeing players celebrate things that they have won. And just being so superstitious just makes me ranty.
Okay. Well, there may have been a compelling reason for them not to touch the cup. Because, and I'm pulling this right from this article, because this article is delightful. And we will definitely link this in the show notes. Because it's piling superstition on top of superstition. And it said, the last two teams to touch their conference trophy and lose were the 2010 Philadelphia Flyers, who was coached by Peter Laviolette, who is now the coach of Nashville Predators.
Oh, good Lord.
And the 2007 Ottawa Senators, upon which Mike Fisher played. So maybe there's some precedent for not touching the Western Conference, the Campbell Bowl.
And the problem, and the awful thing is, for the extra awful thing is for me, is that as somebody who just wants them to pick up the friggin' trophy, if Nashville wins, which I do want them to win, then it's just going to reinforce the stupid "don't touch the cup" thing.
And nobody's just touching that cup ever again.
Yeah,
it'll never have a fingerprint on it. So that is sort of the tradition. Thank you, Flyers, for starting this crazy thing. But yeah. But there's all sorts of delicious little statistics in the last 20 years of what happens. So, yeah, we'll see. We will see at the end of this whether whether the suspicion and tradition should hold or not.
I am shaking my head so hard. Can we move on to the hockey tidbit? Because I don't even want to think about this anymore.
All right. I have a great hockey tidbit this week.
Okay. I hope so. I need a palate cleanser.
All right. I love sort of sassy team social media play things that enhance your experience. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows my love for the Dallas Stars Jumbotron operator,
right?
Because they put amazing things up there all the time that make me laugh. Well, now arena music really caught my attention this past play. Yeah, I just all right. So there's a couple different types of in-game music. You have like your pump-up music, the music they play during warm-ups, and then you've got goal songs, and you've got sort of songs that get the crowd going. And then you have in-game music for when there's a penalty called, or when certain team members come up, or a member of the team may have an individual song when they get a goal. So I did notice it particularly during the Ottawa Senators home games, because they have an amazing DJ, and I'm trying to pull up his name, who actually will take requests via Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. For songs I remember seeing during one game, a couple of people were kind of going back and forth about it. And then somebody was just like, oh yeah, well, whatever. If he plays such and such, then I'll be impressed. And like, I don't know, 10 minutes later, you see that person going, holy F, he actually did it.
Like, he did.
It happened.
And I will, I'm not going to poke through now and look for it, but I will find the DJ's name who does that for the Ottawa Senators and put that up there, because there's a neat little interview with him about how he will. You can contact him on Twitter. I think actually our friend Rachel did that during a game, and they played something, and or she had said how much she enjoys this particular DJ. So, but it can get a little sassy. So they'll play certain songs. Like I said, if there's a penalty, they could say, they play "I Fought the Law," I've heard, or another one, "Bites the Dust," as they go to the penalty box. So there's not just, you know, it's not just traditional organ music. There's sometimes, you know, you will still hear that at hockey arenas, but. You know, that the in arena DJ like is watching the game, and he is tailoring the music to what is happening on the ice, which I just, it just delights me.
Speaking of the Ottawa Senators, one of my favorite things was always during the regular season, if they had gone to overtime and then were going to a shootout, I believe is when it was, in that space between overtime and the shootout, he would always play the 11th Doctor's theme from Doctor Who, and Deb and I are both big Doctor Who fans, so it always freaked me out when I was watching an Ottawa game, and like I would hear this music from my complete other fandom on the other side of the world. Just like,
our other podcast, it bleeded in.
It did. It was just but that was just great. That's one thing that I've kind of missed during the playoffs, because you don't have shootouts anymore, so I haven't gotten to hear my Doctor Who song.
Yeah. So there's a really funny one that happened. I mean, there's some of the every year, like a team will like announce what their goal song is going to be. Some teams like stick it out and have the same goal song for years. Like, I hate Chelsea Dagger right now will forever and ever because the Chicago Blackhawks, every time they get a goal, they play that. But sometimes, you know, your DJ will pick a song for a player, an individual player. And there's a delightful story that happened this past spring where Andre Schuster of the Tampa Bay Lightnings, who doesn't score a lot of goals, he's a defenseman, that is not his job, but he scored like three goals this year, and after his second goal in March, he decided he would have a song like that would play when he scored, if he scored another goal. Chances were it wasn't going to happen, but he wanted to have a song. So when he did score his goal on March 9th against Minnesota, he played "Oops, I Did It Again" by Britney Spears, which just had his bench cracking up, because he wouldn't tell anybody what his song was going to be. But when it came on, they just all kind of fell over each other and thought that was really funny.
That because is delightful.
So arena music is my happy, it's like my happy hockey thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Deb, that is a great tidbit and a wonderful way to close out the episode.
I think so, too. It washes that superstition taste right out of your mouth. So, you have been listening to Beginner's Puck, and remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is "Ephemeral" by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck, email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com, or leave a comment at theincomparable.com/puck.